A couple of weeks ago, I was at an engagement party with some of our friends. We were celebrating at a table with people we didn't really know. And our table was having so much fun, somehow we always end up at the rowdiest table, that one of the other folks said, "Hey, you guys, let's do this again in a couple weeks. How about we get together and we have brunch?" When we figured out that, first of all, they were actually serious, and secondly, that they meant this weekend, Dave and I said, "Well, that's going to be a little bit of a problem in our line of work. It's a busy day." Generally, I don't tell people I'm a pastor in public because it makes them less fun around me. It's not because I'm ashamed. Anyway, they looked at us, puzzled, and then they said, "Oh, Easter, do you practice?" You can imagine everyone's surprise when we explained, in fact, we are pastors. But for the rest of the day, I thought about that phrase, "Do you practice?" Oof, yeah, I practice. Most days, my faith feels like the squeaky joints and the awkward moves of an athlete who hasn't quite hit the gold yet. The tries and the tries again of a honking horn played by an amateur new to the band. You know what? I am practicing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. You are God, and we are not. Amen. So today's scripture has kind of a play-by-play feel, like a March Madness game, right? Joanne did such a good job of keeping us going with where the story was headed. Peter takes off running, but the beloved disciple runs with him. But wait, the beloved disciple is faster than Peter. But he's too scared to go in the tomb. In goes Peter, right? We're like hearing this play-by-play of the game. And then who do we have joining the team? It's Mary, but she stands outside. She's crying, but she's staying in it. To the tomb, back to the house, to the tomb, back to the house. John, the writer of this gospel, definitely was trying to get our blood pressure up a little bit, right? And all the running and the weeping, in the confusion and in the hope, we encounter followers of Jesus grappling with what is happening before their very eyes. I always appreciate this, but especially today, I appreciate their humanness. It feels to me like they're faithful, but they're also practicing. They each have their own sense of, like, a hesitance, right? A doubt, hopefulness, and also some heartache. Mary is literally looking Jesus in the face. Did you hear that? She's looking Jesus in the face. She thinks he's the gardener. And she doesn't quite get it until Jesus looks at her back and says her name. Peter, eager as ever. Y'all know throughout the Gospels he is always eager. He can't keep up on the Jesus jog with the beloved disciple, but he hops right into the tomb and he sees the grave clothes lying there. All that exuberance, and he somehow goes back home still unsure of what he has seen. And then there's John, the beloved disciple, who's said to have remained outside of the tomb. He seems a little nervous, right? Like, I don't know if I want to go in there. But eventually he goes in, he sees the cloths folded, and the text says he believes, but doesn't even tell us in what. "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." I've probably read this text 1,000 times, and I have never been so moved by that verse. "For as yet they did not understand." What a beautiful biblical way to say they weren't sure of much, but they saw what they saw. They heard their name. They felt something deep in their guts, and so they took another step. This is such a different approach than the story Christendom tells about Jesus, often also about the church. Sometimes it's not even the picture that we clergy give. If you look at the mainstream image of Christians, you can get the impression that we are the people with the answers. We've got this thing totally figured out, all of it, in fact. We can tell you everything about how you need to live your life. And you're welcome to join this winning team whenever you're ready to be a winner too. But in today's scriptures, we see people who don't quite understand all they've been told before, or even all that they've seen. We get the sense that these people who have been with Jesus in the flesh, they've seen his miracles, right? They've seen it all. They've also seen his utter demise. And they can't quite figure out which way is up. They are unsure, but they keep walking. They're just practicing. I love this image of followers of Jesus because this actually isn't an exception. If you read scripture, this is the norm. We heard in Mark's gospel, the father of the sick son say to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." There's no pause there. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And in today's second reading, actually the first, second in the Bible, first we read today, we heard the story from Acts. We heard about Peter and his aha moment with Cornelius. Right before the section we read, there's a guy named Cornelius. I'll tell you more about him in a minute. And Cornelius has had this vision from God, and so has Peter. Peter was the most insider of insiders, right? He's like the most eager disciple. Cornelius was a Gentile. Gentiles were unclean according to the religious customs that Peter followed, but God gave Peter this vision of a bunch of unclean foods coming down from heaven. And God basically says to Peter, "Eat, just go for it, man." Peter was astounded, of course. But that vision was God's way of preparing him for an even more shocking interaction that Peter would have, not with unclean food, but with unclean people. Cornelius. God called Peter to go to Cornelius and tell him, "Whoops, we were mistaken. God doesn't show partiality. And God's out here working in and welcoming all kinds of people." Peter didn't quite understand, but he kept following the movement of God's Spirit. That's what we hear in Acts. Peter and all the rest of the disciples, they don't quite see it all, but they keep moving forward. In one of my favorite agreements in group therapy, there's this agreement that is often made at the beginning. It's possible that we are both doing the best we can and we need to learn new skills. You see, faithful people living in light of Jesus' resurrection aren't people with all the answers. They're people seeking Jesus' kingdom in all its awe and surprise. That's it. They're practicing. The wow of the resurrection isn't because I have maneuvered the greatest logic known to humanity. It's because this God defies logic. The aha of the resurrection isn't rooted in some airtight argument or a theological treatise. It's rooted in the echoes of God calling us by our names. Friends, following Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord, is not about getting all of your religious ducks in a row. Amen. It's about what God is doing. While it was still dark. It's about coming to terms with the limits of our power and understanding and the limits of our own authority. It's about basking instead in the glow of a God who defies not only gravity, but the grave. Death, in all of its signatures, could not keep him down. Evil, in all of its manipulations, does not get the last word. What we come to understand on this holy day of Easter is that God's kingdom, in all of its complexity and its glory, that's where we're headed, even if we can't quite make sense of it. What we come to understand is that Jesus' way of surrendering rather than harming, dying rather than killing, sharing rather than hoarding, loving rather than hating, that way will have the last word. Amen. The blind man in John's gospel says, "That I don't know, but here's what I do know. I was blind and now I can see." We can hear the beloved disciples saying, "I can't explain it, but the grave clothes were on the floor." We can hear Mary saying, "I don't really get it, but I heard him say my name." You may even hear in yourself, "I don't know why, and I can't explain it, but there's something in me that knows I need this story of hope and new life too." You see, there's something else about practicing that we see in today's scripture. As Mary hears her name, she also becomes wrapped up in the work of Christ. Jesus is revealed to her, and then she is sent. She is sent to practice the faith, sharing the good news, joining the work of the resurrected Lord. The next section of this story, it's not just Mary, tells a similar take for the disciples. They encounter the Lord, and then they are sent to practice a life of resurrection in light of God's holy and mysterious trickery. Today, friends, you don't have to get it. You don't have to have all the answers or be the meanest arguer for Jesus. You don't have to see the whole picture or understand every biblical reference to know that in Christ Jesus our Lord, there is something beautiful and enticing, a different way, a different life, a different kingdom. May you hear the Lord speak your name and then join the work as we practice a life of resurrection hope together. Amen.